Hi, welcome to First Press Church Podcast. At the end of this message, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast channel or our YouTube channel for the latest Sunday messages. We're so glad to have you be a part of our worship from afar. It is our prayer that this message will ignite a fire in your spirit for a closer walk with God.
Good morning, church. Good to see you gathered here. It's good to be gathered. I love worshiping in this way. Love our praise team leading us in worship this morning. And I just love lifting up the name of the Lord together. It makes a difference to come and to gather and to worship him. And I hope you feel that difference. I hope you feel his presence. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. When we gather up here and we sing, when we lift up the name of the Lord, we're in the very presence of the risen Lord Jesus by his Spirit. Amen. He's here with us. He's making a difference. We're going to read Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read from verses 14 to 25, and we're going to be praying for the Lord to help us to dig in, to understand a very meaty text of Scripture, a very theological moment in the story of salvation. So open your Bibles to Romans 8, and let's open our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Lord, with your Scripture before us, we nevertheless stand helpless. And we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and to illumine our minds and to help us to hear your voice full of grace and truth, to help us to walk away understanding how you have won our place in your family of salvation through Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. The church said,
amen.
Amen. Romans 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Adoption is our theme today. The turn of redemption, the turn of adoption in Christ. Lead Me Home is this series where we're talking about the great story of redemption, the great story of salvation. How do you understand your world? How do you understand your world view? Well, we as Christians, we profess that this is part of a great story of God that has four parts. There's a moment of creation, that we were made by God. We're not here by accident, but there's a creator who made us and made a home for us. And then there was a moment that we call the fall, where by our disobedience, we ruptured our relationship with our Maker, and we spun the whole world into a twisted shadow of what it was meant to be. Now there's this moment of redemption. We've learned that God sent his Son, and last week we talked about how Jesus Christ declared, I am the way and the truth and the life. Lead me home. What's the way home? Jesus Christ is the way home, because God has made a way. And what we hope for, we've got creation, fall, redemption. What we hope for is the consummation. What's that? That's the restoration of all things, the renewal of everything that's broken. We're living in a world that's broken and needs fixed, and we believe in God's promises that God is going to put things back to rights again. When we wake up and we see that Israel has declared war for the first time in 50 years, and we see that people have been attacked, that their homes have been destroyed, that our world is tilted once again into warfare and violence and pain and death, we say, Lord, there's something wrong in this world and it needs fixed. And what we trust in is that God is at work fixing this world. The things that are wrong will be put right in time. Creation, fall, redemption, consummation. This great story of salvation, how can you be a part of it? How can I participate in that story? How can I make sure that my story is a part of that story? Well, here's what we're going to learn today. It doesn't come from just doing good or starting to try to do Christian things or trying to do nice things in the world. It doesn't start from all that. What the Bible says is necessary is nothing less than a complete change. It's nothing less than giving your life to Christ and receiving life from Him. It's nothing less than a total conversion. It's what this passage calls adoption. Adoption. And everything after is different from what came before. Adoption in Christ. What's wrong is being put right. Starting from the resurrection of Jesus, everything that is wrong is being put right. All the twisted up brokenness of the world is being steadily undone and healed. Or at least we're seeing glimpses. We're seeing shines of light, glimmers of hope that the consummation is coming. Some of you may have seen the movie Return of the King or read the book J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. And from the Return of the King, there's this moment at the end of the story where everything blew up, the whole world kind of, and nobody knew who was living, who was dead. And this character, Samwise Gamgee, sort of wakes up and he finds that he's alive. And then he finds the wizard Gandalf. Have you heard of the wizard Gandalf? And this is what Samwise Gamgee says. Gandalf, I thought you were dead. But then I thought I was dead myself. Listen to this. Is everything sad going to come untrue? What's happened to the world? A great shadow. Should I do a Gandalf voice for you? Gandalf, yes, I think so, right? A great shadow has departed. It's not bad. I need the beard. A great shadow has departed, said Gandalf. And then he laughed, and the sound was like music or like water in a parched land. Look, what has happened? Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ has risen from the grave. If death itself can be undone, then there is nothing wrong in this world that cannot be fixed. Will everything sad come untrue? Will all of this brokenness be put back together? Could it be possible that now that this great shadow has been done away with, that there's a consummation coming? There's a wholeness. There's a healing of all things. Yes, yes, yes. Will everything sad come untrue? Lead me home. Show me the way home. Jesus is the way home. And now he puts us on the way. He puts our feet on the path. Redemption, creation, fall, redemption, consummation. Redemption means we've been purchased. There's been a cost paid. The cost was Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. It was his life, his blood, his body given over to pay once and for all the penalty for our sins. And the price was paid. What did he buy? What Jesus purchased with the cost was he purchased life. He purchased forgiveness. He purchased the inauguration of the kingdom of God. He purchased a place in his family for you and for me. It's the gift that he gives us in adoption. We say, I want to be a part of that. I want to connect with that. How do I start doing good in the world? How do I start making sure that I'm part of things coming together, not things falling apart again? What do I do? Just tell me what to do. Do I, you know, be good, erase my social media, be nice, drive the speed limit, and what am I supposed to do, you know? Just give me something, eat more vegetables, you know, eliminate single-use plastics. Just tell me the thing to do, right? I want to do the thing to do. Look, I wouldn't push you off any of that stuff. and your desire to participate in Jesus' renewal of all things, but it's not how it begins. It's not how you enter in. It's not how your participation starts. To enter in is nothing less than laying down your life before Jesus and receiving new life from him again at his hands. It's conversion. Jesus said, you have to take up your cross and follow me. And Paul, the author of Romans, he wrote in another letter called Galatians, yes, it's exactly like that. He said, look, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, it's not like the life that I lived before. It's a totally different thing. There was a shift. There is a life that I lived, and then there was a shift and a change, and now my life is entirely different. And where did it happen? It happened at the cross, when I was with Christ, and I felt my life crucified with Christ, and then I felt my life revived in the power of Christ's resurrection power. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, that's complete. It's total. It's a shift. It's a change. Your life is different now. You've got an old life and a new life. When you walk through the cross and in the power of the resurrection into new life, everything about your past is different from your future. You're a new person. Our passage today calls it adoption. Adoption. See, why do we dwell on this? Because we're tempted to just start walking in the Christian ways, to start walking in the Christian paths, and to try to just do the Christian things and the good things and to participate in making things better. Until you are adopted into the family of God, until you have given Christ your life and received new life from him by his power, not your own, I'm telling you, you can't truly participate in the renewal of all things in Jesus. Because it starts in here. It starts with adoption. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. What are slaves? They work for the master. Work for the master. That's not you anymore. The Spirit that you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your, say it with me, church, adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. That's what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in you. This is adoption initiated by God and activated by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Adoption. And adoption to what? Sonship. You become sons. Now, approximately half of you in the room are thinking, I don't really want to be a son, right? I'm a girl. I don't want to be a boy. And to you, I say openly, I don't want to be the bride of Christ. What do I wear? This isn't about gender roles. This isn't about any of that sort of thing. Both of these terms, these are about rights and provisions and protections. When you're given sonship, and this is correct, this is a correct translation. This is not a sexist translation of this passage or anything. This is what it says. When you put your faith in Christ, you receive sonship. When you put your faith in Christ as a woman, you receive sonship. What does that mean? That means that you, I, all of us, when you believe in Christ, you become what? Heirs with Christ. Sonship is a status. You are the one who receives the inheritance of the Father. All things owned by the Father now are coming to you by rights. You have sonship in Christ. That's what that means. That's what that means. We receive inheritance. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are, say it with me, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. You stand to inherit the kingdom of God by rights. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done for you to name you a brother, a sister, a child of the living God. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. What does that mean? If indeed I go to the cross and I give the Lord my life, and I receive my life back in him, adoption in Christ. I think adoption must be one of the most terrifying experiences on the face of the planet. We have a lot of families who've adopted. I know a lot of people who've been adopted. I try to put myself in the shoes of that kid, you know, and just think what a hard moment that is. We walk into a new home, and as a little girl, a little boy, you know, you say, this is your new dad. This is your new mom. This is your brother. This is your home. Maybe even this is your name. This is your new name. And just all the fear, you know. When you put your faith in Christ, when you are adopted by Christ, adopted in Christ, with Jesus Christ as your brother and God as your father, what happens? The Spirit of God comes and ministers to your frightened, trembling spirit. The Spirit of God whispers to you in your spirit. You see, I've learned from families in this church, you know, it's so fearful that you can adopt a child. It can take months. It can take years before they are able to say mom or dad and mean it from the heart. Years before they feel that home and the reality and the truth of it. And you've got to just keep telling them, this is true. You're adopted. You're mine. You're my child. This is true. The Spirit of God comes and testifies to our hearts. Look at this. Verse 16, let's read this together. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The Holy Spirit ministers to your heart with a ministry of attestation. That means the Spirit is going to attest. This is true. This is real. You've been adopted and now you're in God's family. And though you forget, the Spirit remembers. And he whispers again and again, you're a child of God. That is, when you've been adopted. What I'm talking about and what I want you to see here is that you've got to walk through this moment, this born again moment, this exchange. When you've been adopted, that means that you've responded to the gospel. You've responded to Jesus Christ. And you've said of your own accord, from your own voice, from your own heart, yes, Jesus, you are my Savior. I'm lost in my sins without your salvation and grace. You say in your heart, yes, Jesus, you're my Lord. I'm lost in this world until you show me the way to go, until you give me your word. And I bend my knee, I bow my head, I lay my life before you, my Lord and Savior Jesus. When once you have done that, then you are adopted, and the Holy Spirit begins to testify in your heart of the truth to that. That's how you participate. That's how you get in. That's how it starts. That's how it begins when you enter the family of God. Family is where we're formed and reformed, and you could start a great conversation with someone just by asking them or talking to them or saying to them, this is a statement, isn't it? Family is one of God's greatest gifts. Family. We've got all kinds of history with family, don't we? Positive, negative. The family of God is where we are formed and reformed, changed and reshaped, where we find new life. And it's only by the sacrifice of Jesus that we get to come in. This is a quote from John Calvin. He said, his task was to restore us to God's grace as to make the children of men the children of God. Who could have done this had not the selfsame Son of God become the Son of Man? And had not he so taken what was ours as to impart what was his to us and to make what was his by nature ours by grace? You follow that? Nope. Yeah, I know. That's a lot, right? What's he saying? He's saying this is a blessed exchange. This is a happy exchange. Jesus Christ took all that was ours on him so that he could give all that was his to us. He took all that was ours, our sin, our guilt, our shame, so that he could give us all that was his. An eternal life, inheritance in the kingdom, a place in the family of God forever by his name. Martin Luther called it the happy exchange. There's an elder in our church, Megan Nielsen, who wrote a book about adoption and about faith called A Beautiful Exchange. A Beautiful Exchange. And what I want you to see is that this event, this is a transaction. Adoption in Christ is complete and final. It's total and irrevocable. And it happens once when you put your faith in Christ. and you're adopted in Christ, and you, there's no question about it. You are no longer a lost child or an orphan. You're a child of the living God, now and forever, by faith in Jesus. You can't live your old life anymore. You can't be that old person anymore. Things are going to start to change. I was shown this blog this week. My dad showed me a blog from a recovering addict named Nadia. I want to read this for you. You know, when things change, you've got to live a new way of life. This is what she wrote. In 1994, when I was three years sober, the wheels just sort of fell off. I don't know if mental breakdown is an entirely accurate term for what I experienced. I just know I was losing my ability to make sense to myself. I was in emotional vertigo. You ever felt emotional vertigo? Like I kept reaching for a light switch and missing. I now know what I did, she wrote. I spent those first 3 years of my sobriety attempting to live the exact same life as before I got sober, just without the drugs and alcohol. Why? Because I could not let go of who I had been. I would cop dope for other people and not even take a cut, simply because the idea of being someone who no longer knew how to score was too terrifying to incorporate into my self-understanding. Yet leading the same life with the same people in the same scene and sleeping around with the same exact kind of men, well, it ends up that is a very painful life to lead. I may have been sober, but I didn't start to get well until I could accept who I had been and who I was becoming and accept any distance there was between the two. Do you get that? There's got to be a turn. New life. Adoption in Christ is not a name tag, it's a new name. Adoption in Christ is new life, and the old life has to be left behind. I can't be that person anymore. I'm not going to be that man anymore. I'm not going to be that woman anymore. But sometimes we meet Christ, we come to Christ, and we try to live the same exact pattern of life. But then what happens is this very disturbing thing. The Holy Spirit starts to intervene, and the Holy Spirit starts to interrupt. And when we try to live those old patterns of life, the Holy Spirit says, that's not you. You're a child of God. Whew, that's not who you are. You're a son of the King. You're a daughter, brother and sister to Christ. The Holy Spirit starts to change us. A new life begins to emerge. This is not about adding Jesus to an otherwise moderately successful life. This is about a total change, a total turn, a total conversion, where you say, I was lost, but now I'm found. And you know, nothing will get in the way of that easier, quicker, than the sin of pride. Pride that says, even when you're found, that turns and says, I wasn't really lost. You ever gotten lost driving? And then you kind of, just by luck or grace, like you find your way again, like you figure out where you are, and then you turn to Abigail. I mean, whoever. And in your pride, what do you say? You say, I wasn't really lost, you know? I was never really lost. We need to admit that we need Jesus. We need to admit that we were lost. We need the turning, the changing. Bible calls it repentance. When you give your life to Christ, an unfolding begins. You are adopted. It is final and permanent and irreversible. It's what theologians call justification. You've been justified by grace through faith. And now you're not judged by your sins. You're judged by Christ's merits. And you are a son of God, a daughter of God. You're saved for life. You're adopted. And no one can take that away from you, and nothing will ever change it. You have eternal life in Christ. You're justified. But now something else starts to happen. And as you enter the household of God, an unfolding begins in your heart, an unwrinkling of all those twists and all that tightness and brokenness caused by the fall. It starts to come undone. You start to become more like Jesus. We call it sanctification. It's the Holy Spirit works in your life, day by day, attesting, pointing, guiding. And you begin to live a new life. And now when that starts to happen, what this passage is telling us is that all of creation is waiting and watching. How do I participate in making the world better? It starts with this unfolding of your own heart. And all of creation is longing for it. All of creation is groaning for it. Just as the fall began with us, with our disobedience to God, so does the renewal of all things begin with us and in our heart, as Jesus starts to work to put all things back together. Verse 19. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Just as all creation got twisted up because of our disobedience, so creation is waiting for the untwisting to come out of our hearts and start to impact the world around us. The creation is, all of creation, I think about the animal kingdom waiting and watching for the children of God to be revealed. You know? What are these animals thinking? You ever see how your cat looks at you sometimes? You know? With that look of like, what is wrong with you? Anybody have that? And it's just like the cat knows. The cat's waiting. The cat, there's something come on. The creation itself is waiting for the unfolding, the consummation, the healing. This world is not to be annihilated. It is to be renewed and restored. Jesus called it the renewal of all things, the palingenesia, the born-againness of everything that is. He called it that in Matthew 19, 28. And he said, meet me in that place. Meet me in the place of the renewal of all things, the born-againness of everything that is. Well, it starts with your own born-againness. It starts with you coming to Christ, saying yes to the Lord, allowing him to draw you into his family through adoption in Christ, allowing a new life to begin. When once you do, you're adopted, you're named, you're forgiven, you're saved, you're redeemed. And yet we walk this life out in a broken and a war-torn world. But the sufferings that we now face, our passage tells us, Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. There is a glory to come. There are promises that are yet to come to consummation. And that is still out in front of us. It's still along the way. And along the way, do not lose heart. How? How can I walk this road that is broken and painful and not lose heart? How can I watch another day where the world falls into warfare and pain and not lose heart? I want to give you three things that I want to encourage you to do to not lose heart as you walk this adoption out along the path, as you try to remember that your story is part of God's story, and you need to connect regularly with the truth of that, and you need to let the Spirit attest to the truth of it moment after moment, day after day. Three things. One, open your heart in prayer and keep your heart open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, who is whispering moment after moment, day after day, you're a child of God. Two, gather regularly with others who know the secret. Gather. If you're in Christ, you're no longer lost nomads. You're pilgrims on the way to a sacred home. You need to gather with others who know and live by that same secret. Three, keep the word of God open in your life, the word of truth, to guide you on your way. This world will spin you into confusion so quick. Keep your heart open in prayer. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is attesting to your spirit. Gather with other pilgrims who know the secret truth. All sad things will come untrue. Keep the word of God in front of you. Trust and believe in what he tells you. The Spirit is attesting to your heart and mine. I'm a child of God. And my Father will fix this. Lord, there's so much broken in front of us, so much that needs to be fixed. Lord, this passage is so deep, so powerful, we can only scratch the surface of it. But we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be those people, those children, named by Christ, called into your household, who are receptive, receiving above all the whispers of the world the strong voice of the Spirit, attesting to our heart that we are children of God. Connect us, Lord, to your story. Help us to live with hope in the consummation of all things. And when we see the brokenness and pain, help us to be those who simply and humbly, with childlike faith, cry out to you, Father, Abba, and trust in your love. In Jesus' name.
Once again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you live in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love to have you here on Sunday mornings. To find us online, just search First Pres Colorado Springs.